Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, publisher of the blog, and today I'm speaking with Jim Nail, Chief Strategy Officer of Symphony, a TNS media intelligence company. Symphony, for those of you that are unaware of them, mines both online and offline content. They use a phrase called market influence analytics. So for those of you who are looking to understand conversations taking place online these days about your brand, this podcast is for you. So, Jim, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Excellent. So let me ask you a couple questions, first of which is, what should marketers be thinking about when it comes to mining the blogosphere?
They really need to think in some slightly new ways. And I think the main thing is marketers are used to obviously driving the conversation. They're used to being the ones to ask all the questions. When you start to listen in on these conversations in the blogosphere, you need to set aside some of those preconceptions. I mean, you should definitely have some hypotheses about what consumers are talking about or have some ideas of what you want to learn, but a lot of times consumers don't talk about what you think they should be talking about. To be a little more specific, I mean, often we get clients coming, oh, I want to know what the buzz is about my brand, Brand X. And we'll go out there and we'll find there isn't a whole lot about their brand specifically, but what there is usually a lot of is the consumer talking about, say, that product category or talking about a particular problem in their life or a particular thing they're trying to do. And they're using Brand X or they're using a product in that category. So, just being able to tune into those different frequencies and understand that at each of those levels, whether it's at the product category, you know, at a competitive level or at your specific brand, there's lots of value to be gained by hearing what consumers say.
Right. Very interesting. I mean, you know, talking about the conversations that are happening in your industry, so not just about your brand per se. That's an enlightening fact for me.
Right.
Now, have you done any research or can you share with us any successful examples of folks that are mining the blogosphere and share some of those?
Absolutely. We've done a couple of studies for a couple of different purposes. One was for the Word of Mouth Marketing Association for their book on research and metrics. And this is when we looked at that category level. We looked at breakfast cereals, of all things, and you wouldn't think there'd be a lot of people talking about breakfast cereals, but actually there are. But they weren't really talking about breakfast cereals. They were really talking about several other topics in which breakfast cereals figured. The main one being, and about half of the conversations, were about people trying to live a healthier lifestyle. And so the conversations were about, well, you know, doctors tell you that you shouldn't skip breakfast if you're trying to eat healthy, and you should be getting more fiber and fruits, and breakfast is a good way to get that, especially if you eat cereals like, you know, Cheerios and Weetabix, et cetera, et cetera. So that was one of those cases like I was talking about before.
Mm.
The second one, I think, is even a little bit more interesting for marketers. We did a study back in October and November looking at the adoption of Blu-ray and HD DVD players. And what are consumers saying about these next-generation video formats? And the hypothesis I went into, which is kind of the hypothesis you hear a lot, was that as long as there are these two competing formats, consumers aren't going to buy either one. They're going to wait until one of them wins, you know, having learned their lesson from the old VHS Betamax days. Well, the first thing we learned was that right now it's mainly early adopters, about 60% of the conversations were among really early adopters. And they were saying things like, you know, if I blow $400 or $500 and I make the wrong choice and I have to replace in a couple of years, I don't really care because I want the high-def experience and I want it now and it's important to me and so I don't care. So at least for this group, which is obviously an important trend-setting group, they're less concerned about making the wrong choice. But what was even more interesting was that it wasn't even as much talk about which format was better, was driving their purchase decision. There was a significant segment that really resented Sony in a couple of fundamental ways.
Huh.
One way was that they failed with Betamax.
they failed with mini-disc, and these people reeled off a couple of other formats that I didn't even know about. But they said, look, Sony has failed these, you know, four or five times before. Why should we believe they're going to be successful with Blu-ray? The second objection was that Sony is a greedy, arrogant company. And these are the terms the consumers were using, that they create these proprietary formats that they try to control, and then they try to shove them down people's throats. And this was a lot, particularly in the gaming community, because the PS3 game console, which has a Blu-ray movie player built into it, was launched during the period that we were studying. And so the gamers were saying, look, I don't want to have to pay more for my game player to get this movie player that I don't even really want. So I hate Sony for that. And what I think the lesson of that is, just aside from the specifics of the Sony example, is you get answers to things you didn't even know you should be asking about. You know, we knew to ask the question or to look for the conversations about, are you waiting to buy one until you see which format wins? You know, we knew to look for that. But we just kind of stumbled on these other conversations that have to do with Sony's, past behavior and their kind of reputation. But clearly those are very important things that Sony should be taking into consideration as they try to make Blu-ray a successful product.
Right, but how are people coming to you and what are they asking you for other than just tell me about brand X, the most pressing need that they're coming to Symphony to solve?
Probably the other most common question is, who are the influential bloggers, social networking people in our space? And so, you know, pretty much with every engagement, it's a pretty standard part of our offering that we will, as we're combing through that data, we're looking at who are the speakers that other people respect and seem to believe have the most knowledge, as well as looking at, you know, the linking and those kinds of more quantitative things. But at this stage, most marketers are really just dipping their toe in, and they're just trying to get that sense of, you know, what are people saying about my company, my brand, my products? And often it's no more specific than, gee, just tell me what the buzz is.
Right. So, I mean, you get a picture with the Symphony of what's happening online in the blog sphere, as well as the offline PR perspective to it too now, right?
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
And there's some very interesting things that you can see, sometimes similarities and sometimes differences. We did a different study for Walmart, again, not a client of ours, but a study we did for, you know, demonstration purposes. And we saw that very different topics talked about in traditional media and the consumer-generated media. Obviously, Walmart gets a lot of coverage for, you know, their environmental impact, for wages and benefits that they pay their workers, for their impact on the local mom-and-pop stores and things like that. And that's, you know, the bulk of the coverage in traditional media. Online, a lot of those issues are just not coming up among most consumers. I think only about a quarter of consumers talked about any of those issues. The other three quarters were simply talking about, hey, I went to Walmart this weekend and I got this great deal on, you know, this particular product. Or, oh, it's back to school season coming up, so I got to take my kids to Walmart and get them outfitted this weekend. So it really, I mean, it showed how deeply Walmart is really embedded in people's lifestyles. And sure, there's a segment of people, a segment of activists who are, very passionate about some of the things they feel Walmart is doing wrong, but not nearly in the proportion that we saw in traditional media.
Right, right. So I'm conscious of my audience. A large part of my audience is business-to-business technology marketers, and I just wanted to ask, and you know, we've mentioned a lot of consumer brands, is this hot on the mind of the CMO of the B2B technology type of firm?
Oh, it's definitely on the minds of B2B technology firms, because certainly discussion boards, probably, I'd have to go back in history, but I have to believe a lot of the early boards and things were just purely technology-based. And they still are very, very active. And we've got a couple of big brand name technology companies that we are looking at this stuff for. And it's, you know, the nice thing about that space is you get boards that are extremely specific and can get extremely detailed about, you know, what kind of security applications should I be running on a Unix-based blah, blah server running yada, 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 you know? So you can get into some very, very detailed discussions and really see what's on the minds of those corporate IT folks as they're making those decisions.
Right. Discussion board seems a little, you know, 1999 to me. I'm certainly have my blog hat on and talking to you, you know, about this. So changing gears just a little bit, if you can't afford to go with a company like a Symphony, what can you kind of do for yourself to kind of get started? I mean, the way I see it is there's sort of three tiers, right? You listen, then you begin to influence, and you begin to sort of direct the conversations that are online. So just getting at that grassroots listening, what can you do on your own?
Right. There's a lot you actually can do on your own. It obviously, you know, it takes more time. And the burden on you is to integrate and synthesize the data entirely on your own. But things like Technorati and one of our blog content partners is a company called Sphere, which is another blog search engine, but has terrific, they've got terrific algorithms. I think they produce better results than Technorati. But you can certainly go out there, start searching around for bloggers who are addressing your industry, your company specifically, and, you know, just by, again, reading through some of those things, you start to get a sense of that. And then the second stage would be when you find some of those that you think are particularly relevant, then you want to subscribe to their RSS feeds, and, you know, that makes it really easy on a day-to-day basis to just see what's been updated, what's new among those key folks. And then certainly begin reaching out to them. I mean, I would encourage any marketer not to go out and start contacting those folks too quickly. I think it's really good to spend a couple of weeks just reading what they write so you get a sense of what's interesting to them, what their sort of biases are, what their outlook is, and then you can reach out to them and say, hey, I've got something you might be interested in. You know, it's, you know, not all that dissimilar to what a traditional PR strategy is to identify the key journalists and, you know, then to pitch stories to them. But obviously with bloggers, they're less open to pitches. They're more open to a relationship. They're more open to saying, you know, not just, hey, I want to pitch you this new product announcement that we have coming out tomorrow. It's more about, hey, I've been reading your blog, and you have this really interesting perspective on our industry. You know, we have a slightly different perspective. Would love to kind of share that with you and brainstorm with you. That's more the kind of approach they're interested in. And then if you have something interesting to say, they will then write about it. Yeah, that's obviously very limited to the amount of time that you have to spend on it and the ability to really search all the dark corners of the blogosphere to find the right people, which an automated solution like ours just makes that a bit easier. But it's certainly, you know, I encourage people to just at least get started with something because it's growing too quickly and it's becoming too important to companies' reputations to just not do anything at all.
Right. I mean, the tactics themselves, you need to immerse yourself in some of these tactics in order to build your skill set. And then the strategy comes from that. I'm a big believer in learn by doing and, you know, getting your feet wet in some of these new social media tools. So, Jim, I'd like to thank you for your time. Again, you've been listening to Jim Nail, Chief Strategy Officer of Symphony, a TNS media intelligence company. And thank you all for listening.